Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show. Where else can you listen to Big Brother House Guests, Survivor Castaways, and the Amazing Racer Racers? That's right, here at the Rad Reality Show. So first-time listeners, you need to tune in every Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Sunday.
We'll be starting the show in a second. Let's kick the show off with our theme song tonight.
Show the amazing Sunday night, and this is Ron Rad.
Tonight we talk Amazing Race. If you guys have a question, you guys can call in 347-237-5506.
Baseball season's underway.
No.
Welcome, everyone. Thank you so much for being here with us. Today is November 25th, 2012, and I hope everyone had a wonderful Thanksgiving with your family and loved ones. I'd like to thank you all for joining us here on the Rad Reality Show Network tonight, where we're featuring the TAR's second Pit Stop show hosted by Louis Stravato. And he's got a wonderful guest joining us tonight, so we're in for a really special treat in a little while. My name is Cherry Garcia, and I'll be your co-host tonight, along with Mr. Paul from Minnesota. How are you tonight, Paul? That was actually a request that I received from a fan.
Okay.
And
if people don't know,
I am obviously Paul from Minnesota, and I'm a Minnesota Vikings fan, and we played the Chicago Bears today, and we got beat, and Cherry goes and rubs it in my face by playing that song. But, okay, who do I blame for that one, Cherry?
Well, you're asking me to tattle, but that would be Mr. Chi-Town Joe.
I figured as much. Actually, today, real quickly, I saw a posting on my Facebook wall, and he, Chi-Town Joe, you know, pointed out that the Bears had just beat the Vikings, and so underneath it, somebody, I can't remember who else, liked his post, and what I posted was, Facebook is way overdue in putting up a dislike option, because I wanted to dislike the damn thing, but I couldn't.
Well, it is time to bring up the officer that everyone loves, but I personally can't wait to question. Let's bring up the host of our show, Mr. Louis Stravato. Mr.
Hello,
Louis,
everybody.
How are you? How was your Thanksgiving first? And then I want to find out all the fun info about your birthday.
All right. Let's start one thing at a time here. First off, I hope both of you had a great Thanksgiving. I ate just way too much food. I worked till 3 in the morning earlier that day, working club detail, and then, but it's at double time, so you got to take it. And then from there, I went into work for 7 o'clock in the morning with 2.5 hours sleep, swung home around 1:30, threw the turkey in the oven. But, I mean, the night before, me and my girlfriend prepared all the foods, you know, and everything, got, you know, made it, she made it really easy for me. And then my mom, I picked her up, and she had all foods she prepared, and we went back to my house, and my whole family came over, and we had a beautiful Thanksgiving dinner, which my stomach hurt so bad when I was done. But I even took like an hour break just to eat, you know, before I eat dessert, and that still didn't matter. But I, you know, what about you guys? How'd you guys make out?
Well, we
both... I didn't make out with Cherry.
What's that?
I said I didn't make out with Cherry. What are you implying?
You're a comedian tonight, Paul. Like, you're opening up for Jay Leno later. What's going on? Go ahead.
Cherry, you go first because I'm trying to help somebody here. So
we had a very nice Thanksgiving, my husband and I. We spend Thanksgiving, that's our holiday that we spend sort of together. We don't rush out to the families. That's our holiday that we spend here at home together, and it's more of a relaxed holiday that we share. I usually cook like I'm cooking for an army. This was the first year that I scaled back a little and just cooked a 12-pound turkey breast instead of cooking a 22-pound turkey for just the two of us. But I still do all the, you know, the trimmings and all of that. And we had a very nice Thanksgiving. So it was nice.
That's awesome. That is awesome. All right, so go ahead with the questioning. Go for it.
So I want to know, I know you had a huge 50th birthday party planned.
Yes.
And I'd like to hear about that, but my big question is, we know that your girlfriend had a surprise plan for you, and you knew nothing about where you were going.
Exactly.
Or any of, you know, what the plans were or what they entailed. So I want to find out about this whole 50th birthday weekend and everything that happened.
All right.
Well, as much as you can share with us.
I'll give you the condensed version. But, no, it was a great birthday. Thank you. My girlfriend, she got me in her car, and we started heading north. And, you know, I kind of guessed New Hampshire, but that's pretty much all she gave me. We ended up in the White Mountains, where we stayed in the Wentworth Inn for two nights. and we had an unbelievable time, couples massages, beautiful birthday dinner. The last day we were there, we hiked up to the Aretusa Falls. It's a mile and a half hike up a hill, a mountain, I'm sorry, a mile and a half hike up a mountain to the falls, which was absolutely gorgeous, breathtaking. I mean, I couldn't ask for any more. It was gorgeous. It was a gorgeous weekend. It was, you know, perfect weather. It, you know, wasn't too cold. It was perfect. And we came home, and then Sunday, we had a big birthday party and at a local nightclub called Vanity, and people came from all over the place, and my friends, family. You know, it was a good time. It was really good. Even Jim Vaklica, who we have coming up shortly from Expedition Impossible, he came down. He came to Rhode Island and had a drink with me for my birthday. So it was really nice. I did get trashed a couple of times during the trip, but that's what you're asking. but we can't, that's all I'm going to tell you. Well, we had an unbelievable time. Thank you for asking.
It sounds beautiful. It sounds like she did a fabulous job.
Oh, she did. She did. I'm very lucky. Yeah.
Wow.
Yes.
Couples massages, White Mountains.
Yeah.
Just trekking up
insane.
In the mountains and hiking and,
It was perfect.
Beautiful.
I mean, you know, you couldn't ask for anything better. I mean, you really couldn't. I really couldn't. We had a great time, you know. We just an amazing time together, for lack of a better word. But anyway,
beautiful.
Thank you.
And so, how was the big party prior to that?
The big party was a good time. I mean, just my oldest son said a beautiful speech. I've seen friends showed up that I haven't seen in years. Which is always awesome, you know. And but my son, the highlight of my son's speech to me that he took the time and sat down and wrote, and it was beautiful. And then he also asked the police chief of my department to say something, and the chief showed up and he gave me a citation from the city of Providence. You know,
wow.
Yeah, so it was really nice. It was great. It was really great. So.
That's amazing. You deserve
so much. Yeah, that makes
so
that
much.
Makes that makes 50 more tolerable. Nobody's going to do that kind of big deal for you 10 years from now, bud. Let me tell you.
Thanks, Paul. Yeah, you know, it's a milestone in your life. You know, 50 is a, you know, half century. You know, but still, thankfully, still kicking. You know, and hopefully taking for another 30, 40 years, you know, so let's do it.
Hey, you will be. Look at how healthy you are. I mean, my goodness.
I don't feel so healthy right now. I've ate way too much the past few days. all
well,
I've been talking about
Thanksgiving, you know. We
all
I've
been
do.
Talking about is eating right, dieting, and getting back on track. So, and I know I'll do that, but it's just,
the
you know.
Tryptophan gets to us all.
Oh, yeah. Well, just, you know, around the holidays, everybody, you know, just ridiculously eats no matter where you're from. It's just, you know, it's like your last meal when you're eating, you know? And so, you know, I gotta slow down. But, you know, but thank you for the nice, kind words. I appreciate it.
Well, you certainly deserve it, Louie. Everybody loves you, and I wish I could have been there at your party, you know, if I lived anywhere nearby in the vicinity at all, I would have been there. I would have loved to have joined in. I would have loved to have seen your son's speech, seen you get the citation from, you know, your boss, all of that. I would have loved to have been there and wished you a happy birthday in person.
Thank you.
But I know that you had tons of family and friends there to wish you well, and I'm just so happy that everything turned out so well for you. I knew it would, and I knew that your girlfriend had to have something very, very special for you planned out, and I'm so glad that it turned out to be beautiful weather for you and such a beautiful weekend for you.
It was. It really was. It was incredible. Again, I couldn't ask for anything better. I mean,
that's great.
You know, it's something you'll always remember for the rest of your life type thing, you know?
Right,
so,
right.
Yep.
Well, it's been fun to be able to question an officer.
I didn't give you all the details.
Oh, well, no.
If you're not going to get them. They're looking for the dirt. My girlfriend just said, they're looking for the dirt.
No. I won't go there. But tell her that we said thank you for taking such good care of you.
They said thank you for taking such good care of me.
Oh, my pleasure.
Her pleasure.
That's so sweet. Well, we have your special guest on the switchboard. Would you like us to go ahead and bring him on?
Absolutely.
Let's do this. Jim, thank you so much for calling into the Rad Reality Show. How are you?
I am great, Sherry. How are you?
I'm wonderful.
What's going on, Jim? How you doing,
my
brother?
Hey, my friend Louie.
Hey, what's going on, man? Hey, thank you again, Jim, for coming to my birthday. We were just talking about it, and thank you for being part of my 50th. I really appreciate it.
It was my pleasure there, brother.
No, it was really a surprise seeing you there. I mean, it was nice. So, thank you.
I'm glad I could make it. I had plans, and then they fell through, so I figured I'd shoot right down.
Yeah, I mean, you know, coming down, not knowing anybody but me, and, you know, it ended up Sonny, who you met back in Vegas, was there, and, you know, and you're BSing with him and other people. You fitted right in, so thank you again. You know,
I had a good time. Louis. I'm glad I made it. So what are we going to talk about?
Well, a lot of people don't realize that you, not people that don't realize it, Jim was on Expedition Impossible. It's a show very similar to that of The Amazing Race. And I guess what we want to know, Jim, is have you ever watched The Amazing Race?
I have. I've watched a few episodes. I watched most of the episode tonight. I missed the very end, so I don't know who got eliminated. But, I wish, had I known you at the time, I would have watched the whole season you were on.
Well, you still can. If you went on YouTube, you can look up Amazing Race Season 16, and you can watch my whole season. Which I need to, you know, I started watching Expedition Impossible in the beginning, and I just fell off track because I guess I was just watching too many reality shows. My girlfriend even tells me I'm a reality junkie. So,
right.
I'm an addict.
I think we all are at this point.
But, of what I've watched of Expedition Impossible, I mean, and it has its similarities with The Amazing Race.
Right.
But the thing I find a lot more different is there is more strenuous type activities that you do on your show than we did on The Amazing Race. Would you agree with that? I mean, from what you were, you were on the one and only season.
Right.
It looked like it looked insane, bro. I mean, can you tell us something, anything that was like through the roof?
It was. We had about 6 weeks to train, and they sent us home and they said, you better go and train and do cross training, and we suggest that you train at least 3 hours a day. But this was Boston in January, so. And this was 2011, so we were getting hammered with snowstorms every week. We had 10 inches of snow on the ground every single week. So we couldn't go out there and run. We couldn't even go hiking. It was like, so what are we going to do, you know? We ended up getting 3 pairs of snowshoes, and we put heavy backpacks on, and we'd go snowshoeing, you know? And other than that, we were in the gym just trying to do some cardio in the gym. But other teams from all over the country, especially the teams out in California, they could train, outside every single day, so they had that advantage over us. But our show was super physical. We were just, I mean, even though teams that even prepared to the highest degree weren't prepared for what they threw at us.
You know? Right.
We were some days racing 12, 14 hours, just nonstop. It was unbelievable.
That's insane.
Yeah, and that went on for over 3 weeks.
Wow.
There's so much about Expedition Impossible that reminds me of Mark Burnett's start where he did eco challenges.
Right.
I don't know if you've ever seen that show, but that's what Expedition Impossible reminded me of, and that's what drew me in years and years and years ago to reality TV. And I absolutely loved Expedition Impossible. And
really?
I would love to see them do a second season. I would love to see them continue that show every year. I absolutely was enthralled with that show.
That's great.
Oh, my gosh. I loved it. Loved every single minute of it. And I loved the challenges they had everyone do. I loved the stories they did. The editing, everything about that show just had me fully drawn in.
Wow.
And I was so sad that it didn't get the ratings, and I don't know why. I can't understand why it didn't get the ratings. I don't know if it was the time slot that it was on. I think that may have had a lot to do with it. But that was just one of the most awesome shows, and I was so sad to hear that they weren't going to do it again, because I absolutely loved that show. And we've got people right now in the chat room saying the same thing, that they would love to see it renewed again as well.
That's cool. Maybe we're starting something here. You know, maybe we could get them up and going again, Jim. You know,
I think they needed to find a better time slot for it, and I think it would take off. But I think they didn't have a great time slot for it, and it was competing with too many other shows in the time slot where it was at.
Well, if I remember correctly, me and Jim were talking about this. There was something, another show, or it was a sporting event that was on, or something that interfered. Like, you know, Jim, are you there? Is he there? Did we lose him? Jim, is he still connected?
He's showing on the switchboard. Let me see. Jim, are you there?
Yeah.
Okay, we've got him back.
All right, you lost me there, but I just called back.
Okay.
So, Jim, I mean, you know, it would be nice to see the Expedition Impossible come back on. You know, a lot of people in the chat room were talking about it and how they really love the show themselves. You know, if I remember correctly, me and you had this conversation, you said something about the ratings, because there was something else on during the same time as your show that really, you know, put a damper on it. Is that true? I can't remember.
Yeah. Probably halfway through our season, Big Brother started up.
There we go.
And Big Brother has got that rabid following, you know. So I think we lost quite a few, at least live viewers at that point. So, and I'm a Big Brother fan also. So I had to DVR Big Brother and watch that later on. But, I think, and then Big Brother, they were beating us in the ratings. And I think that fact, along with the cost to make Expedition, is probably the downfall of the show.
Right. I'm sure it was quite costly to make. I mean,
oh, it was huge.
Yeah, that had to be one expensive show to create.
There was talk of like $1 million a day production budget.
Wow.
They had two full-time helicopters for the whole month. And people need to realize that we moved camp every single night. So the whole crew and the whole cast and just everybody involved had to move to a different location every single night. And you know, I mean, that's a 24-hour production that they're going. There was something like 400 crew members.
It was just
enormous.
Hey, let me ask you a question, Jim.
Yeah.
On The Amazing Race, we had a camera guy and a sound guy with us at all times.
Yeah.
Yeah. What was it with you guys? Did you have more than one camera guy, or I mean, more than one
most
sound guy?
Most of the time, we had one cameraman following us. And
No sound guy?
No, we were all wired. We all had our own mics.
Yeah.
And sometimes we were double mic'd. But I don't know really how they picked up the sound. But anyway, most of the time it was a cameraman who was running with us. And then we would see stationary cameras at different places along the route. And those camera guys were unbelievable. When we were running forward, they were running backward.
Yeah, they were incredible. I agree.
They were in such great shape. I mean, we saw them taking spills and dropping cameras and just falling down. It was crazy.
No, they would do anything to get that perfect shot.
Yeah.
They would. I've seen them fall too. In my experience, they are, like you said, they're in unbelievable shape. They're carrying around that heavy camera. Running with you, like you said, running backwards. It's pretty cool to see that. You know, those are the unsung heroes of the making of that show, because they really do an amazing job.
Yeah, they do. And I guess among like the cameraman community, like shows like mine are like the pinnacle. Everybody wants to try and get on, you know, one of our shows because it's such a challenge to them, and that's what they're looking for. They're like us, you know. They just love the challenge.
Right.
We have somebody in our chat room that's asking, did you ever stay indoors? It looks like you camped outside most of the time. Big Week 22 in our chat room was asking that question.
That's a good question. When we first arrived in Morocco, we had 3 days of orientation at a resort. So all the teams were at this one resort, and it was a pretty nice place. And you know, we were going over the rules and just sort of recapping all the skills that we would need to know. And then once they started the race, once those guns went off to start the race, we did not see the inside of a house until you were eliminated. So,
What was the weather like, Jim? What was it like in between?
The weather was all over the map. You know, we started in the Sahara Desert where the temperatures got over 100. And at one point we climbed to the top of one of the Atlas Mountains and we camped out in the snow.
Wow.
So it was everywhere. We were in hot water. We were in cold water. You know, we were out in the desert where it would be baking during the day and then freezing at night. The elements, we were fully involved in all the elements.
You know what, though, I mean, you live to experience an experience of a lifetime, you know, that, I mean, I would do it all over again.
I'm sure
you would, too. So, I mean, you know, that, like, in your personal life, you're a lot like me. We're both police officers, you know, fighting crime daily. But we also do a lot of charity events. And coming up this weekend, we're heading out to New Hampshire, Portsmouth, New Hampshire, I believe, where we will be doing Toys for Tots. And can't wait to get up there. We're going to be in a parade on Saturday. And so it's going to be, it'll be fun. We're going to have a good time. So.
Yes, we are, yeah. I'm looking forward to it.
And, you know, I appreciated being invited, and I've been invited the past couple of years. I just never made it. So I'm looking forward to going up there and, you know, meeting the fans and you know, meeting up with other reality guys and, you know, girls, and you'll just have a good time. And, just being away and being in New Hampshire is beautiful this time of year. You know,
If any fans are up near New Hampshire, they should drop by and you know, hang out. I don't know if a lot of fans realize that there's a reality community, you know.
Yep.
I didn't know it until after my show was done. But there are events, mostly charity events, all over the country that all the reality people meet up and we party together and fans can party with us.
Yep.
It's pretty incredible,
you know? It is pretty cool. But
we had that's where we met in Vegas at one of the reality events.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I'm happy we did.
We've been fast friends ever since.
Exactly, man. We hit it off really quick, you know.
Oh yeah.
But you know what
we're
it is?
Brothers.
Exactly, we're brothers. Exactly.
It's a thin blue line, brother.
Oh man. Well, hey, Jim, thank you so much for calling in, brother. I mean, you can hang on and listen. We're going to be talking about tonight's episode of The Amazing Race. But, I mean, I really appreciate you calling in and spending a few minutes with us. Cherry or Paul, you got any more questions for Jim?
I'd just like to know what you think we might be able to do to let them know at CBS that we'd like to get the Expedition Impossible back on.
I think that was ABC, though, right?
I'm sorry, at ABC.
Yeah, ABC. I really don't know. I guess just whatever you can do on the Internet, just maybe keeping the interest alive. You can go to the different fan pages on Facebook. Basically, every team has their own fan page. You can keep in touch with me. I've got my Facebook page, Jim Vaglica, and that's spelled V as in Victor, A-G-L-I-C-A. And I would welcome any friends on Facebook. But, you know, Mark Burnett, he's still selling that show all over the world. It just ran in the U.K., and I know it ran in England and Australia, so... I don't know. Maybe when he runs out of countries to sell it to, he'll want to do a second season.
We've got to somehow get to Mark Burnett and tell him that we want that show back up and you know, started here in the U.S. again. Oh, and he just dropped off again. Doggone it! I don't know how.
Well, hopefully they decide to put it in. If they do put it back on, they put it in a better time slot, not competing with, you know, shows that have been around forever, like Big Brother, you know. Get people to understand the show. Get people to know it, you know.
I know.
That's not, I mean, look how The Voice started. The Voice started during the summer where nobody really, you know, where I think, like, watching TV's at its lowest, right, pretty much. And, you know, and that's how The Voice became huge, you know. So, I mean, even the, America's Got Talent, you know. So, I mean,
it really has to do a lot, I think, with that time slot and having,
absolutely,
you know, not extremely, you know, big shows to go up against, especially in that first season, to grab your, you know, audience and really get people to understand what the show is about. Once you have, you know, those initial fans to, you know, pass the word along and really stick with the show, you've got a fan base, then, you know, the show will grow from there. But if you don't have that initial fan base, you know, in that first season, you know, then it's going to hurt you. And I think they really just didn't have a great time slot putting it up against Big Brother. And I think there were some other shows, even in the first part of the show's airing, that it was up against that. They just really didn't give that show a chance, and I just loved it so much. And like I said, it was a Mark Burnett production. It was one of the first shows that really took me back to the Eco Challenge days, and that was what got me into reality TV. The Eco Challenges were just tremendous, and Mark Burnett really knows how to, you know, take people out there and put them in conditions that are just almost inhumane, unbelievable to mankind, and expect them to you know, battle it out and run their way through it and race through it. And he just does a tremendous job at putting people in these, you know, situations. And athletes will go out there and, you know, power through it. And
right.
And just, it's amazing to watch them do this. And I respect it so much. I'm not an athlete like that. You know, I wish I was. Mm-hmm. But I have so much respect for people who can do that. And I love watching those challenges. And I just wish they would give it another chance. I really do. So I hope that we can all stay in touch with Jim and follow him on Facebook. Let him know that we all do want to see the show, you know, continue, and maybe he can pass the word along to Mark Burnett and those at ABC, and hopefully one day we'll see it back on again.
Yes. All right, now let's get to what we're all about.
Let's get to the amazing race. This is
Paul's sleeping tonight, so we won't bother him.
He's had to help a couple people in the chat room tonight. I think Blog Talk's having a few little issues tonight, but
I got to tease Paul. Come on.
All right. I'm back, you little, yeah.
Oh, you woke up?
I woke up.
I got
you.
I told
yeah, shut up about the age. I told Cherry right as we were coming on, I said, I love football, but today I hate football because it delayed the amazing.
What happened?
Now Paul dropped off. See, I'm telling you, Blog Talk. I don't know if it's Blog Talk or if it's.
Well, as long as we don't get dropped off.
Yeah, I don't know if it's Blog Talk or if it's actually. Skype that's having the issue, but one of those two are having some problems, and so we'll continue on. He'll call back.
Yeah, like I was gonna say, you know, Paul, you know, we gotta understand Paul's 60 years old, you know, and
yeah.
You know, when you get to be that age, you tend to fall asleep, you know, for no
yeah.
reason. So you know, he's gonna kill me.
Oh my goodness! Here we go. Let's bring him back up, Mr. Paul from Minnesota.
All right. So, all I heard as soon as I got hooked up again here is Louis saying, "Paul, I'm going to kill you." I've just written down the time, so I will be going back and listening. You can't get away with this.
Well, no, Paul, I said you're going to kill me. I said I'm going to kill you. You're going to kill me. Yeah, you have to go back and listen.
I will go back and listen.
So, tonight's show was really good, don't you think,
yeah,
Louis?
It's been going awesome. It's been going really good.
We started out in Moscow.
Yes.
I'll try to get you out of this one, Louis.
Thank you. All right. Tonight's episode
deflecting,
is amazing.
Deflecting, diversion, what is going on here?
Hey, that's what I do best. I'm a police officer. All right, the Amazing Race season 21, and tonight was late 8, and they're in Moscow, where they had to take, with the route info, had them going to Amsterdam in the Netherlands. There was all different flights. It was the first time I've ever saw it. Personally, this is the first time I recall, let's put it that way, that all the teams took different flights, which, you know, really shocked. They, you know, they allowed that, but they did. You know, they separated everybody like that. Natalie and Nadia made it first to Amsterdam, where when they got to the clue, it was the fast forward involved. And the fast forward was to go to the Van Gogh Cafe, and they had to eat all the herring in 7 minutes. It was a plate of herring.
floating bus.
I heard herring. I thought I was going to see these little, you know, like 2.5-3 inch long.
No, not those, man. Those are the big ass ones, man. I probably would have been gagging. I probably would have threw up. But I mean, you got to do it. Yeah, I mean, you got to go for it. At first, they started off slow, but once you get a rhythm down, sometimes and something like that, it's all good, and you just, you destroy it. Cherry said, it was on a floating bus, so they're on water as well while eating this herring. But they did it, and they got through it, and they made it to the pit stop at the house of Rembrandt's mistress for taking in first place and winning $5,000 each. So that was a nice prize for them. Thank God we didn't hear Twinny tonight. Twinny, Twinny! So that was good. Excited about that.
Yeah, I mean, they were out of this episode so fast. I mean, they didn't get much airtime because they were done so fast. But
exactly,
Cherry, you understand what I'm about to say. Cherry, I'm going to give up my Jetson Mobile. I want one of those buses.
You can have the bus. I still want my Jetson Mobile. I'll beat you in any race in my Jetson Mobile while you're in that slow ass bus.
But I'm not good on my flags. I mean, I really have no place of goofing on Trey and Lexi. But let's keep on them. We're going to France.
We're going to Paris.
Paris. So I mean, it's like until they found out that.
James saved them again. I mean, it was and James's kindness once again.
Yes.
Yeah, I love that duo. But it was the cab driver again, the damn taxi cab. It was the cab driver that initially told them what the flag was.
You're right. But it was a young kid, though, that when they asked that person. That person looked young. But all the more, they probably should have knew. But anyway, so they head out and... So,
James and James,
Abby and Ryan had huge problems. They first missed a plane in Germany. Then the second one they got on had mechanical difficulties because the de-ice couldn't be repaired, so they had to get on another plane. They finally make it to the next route info, where it was a mocked boat to the next clue. On a float, it looked like a floating pastry type boat. The boat had to go up to the other boat. What's that?
I said that little restaurant or floating eatery was a cool thing too, and it looked like
it was very cool,
pretty tasty food.
Oh, everybody! I don't know if you heard a couple of the teams mentioned like, "Wow, this is delicious!"
They said it was really good.
So once they did that, once they located that, they received the next clue, which was a detour. And in the detour, there was Back in Time, where you had to recreate one of Rembrandt's famous paintings with characters dressed in the clothing and stuff in the exact order. And a person who is mimicking Rembrandt told them whether or not they did it right. And then there was organ to grind. There was three different type of organ grinders that they had to choose from. Once they picked one, they had to then beg, not beg, but,
one had to grind the grinder and the other one had to beg for euros.
Yeah, 30 euros.
30 euros.
Euros are pretty close to the value of dollars, if I'm not mistaken. Isn't that correct?
I don't know. I don't know if anybody in the chat room knows, but I really don't know money.
It's like within, 10 cents or something, as far as the exchange rate. But basically, how I looked at it is they had to collect 30 bucks. And that sounded to me like it would be pretty, pretty tough.
Well, I mean, you like to really know how long they were actually standing out there for, excuse me, with each one. It was kind of, it's like the way the show goes. You don't really know the exact time that they were out there begging and trying to get this money together.
That's true.
I just remember
speaking of time, Have you ever seen us getting times from one night and the last teams, the fourth and fifth team leaving the next morning? I mean, that was that was crazy.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's the way the show goes, you know. But I mean, it all works out with them, you know, with the show, how they, you know, they how they play it. Once they completed, there was a U-turn ahead. When they got there, wait a minute, hold on. Okay. All right. So the U-turn ahead. All right. There was a route info. There was a museum. Gilzink. Gilvink. For the next clue. James and James at this point, U-turn, Abby and Ryan.
They really talked about it. They felt really bad too. They had all discussed it previously amongst Trey and Lexi, Natalie and Nadia, and themselves, James and James. And they had sort of made this plan about, you know, whoever made it first to the U-turn was going to U-turn Abby and Ryan. But then James and James said, you know, they were hoping that one of the other teams was going to make it there first and they wouldn't have to do it.
Right.
Because they didn't really want Abby and Ryan to dislike them. You know,
exactly.
They played a clean game. But they had talked earlier in the game, in the show, about their families. And one of the Jameses had mentioned that his father has cancer and he is playing this game so that he can, you know, take care of his family.
Right.
And when they got to the U-turn, he said, you know, I'm doing this for my family, and, you know, if this is what I have to do, you know, this means, you know, more to me than anything, and so I'm going to have to go through with it. And even though it really, you know, sort of hurt them to do it, they went through with the plan, and they did go, you know, through with it, and U-turn Abby and Ryan. And
I'll tell you what, it was a smart move on James and James to do what they did. It was a brilliant move on their part. You know, even though they felt bad doing it, and they appeared sincere. I mean, that team has showed acts of kindness, you know, on several legs of this race. You know, I could understand why Ryan was upset, you know, with them, you know, saying the things he did. But I think watching back on it tonight, he might say differently, you know. They really didn't want to do it, but they did it. It's the game, you know.
Well, and this is the point, too, I would think, you know, when you're down to that few number of teams that you really have to start doing things you wouldn't normally like to do, right?
I mean, as you go on, and as you last longer and longer, you know, you do get closer to the other teams at points, and you want to help, but you don't want to really help. I mean, I just remember our last leg of the race when we got eliminated that morning. I just remember stuff that, you know. Not to bring up bad memories, but just like, but they both brothers barely had any winter type clothing, and it was freezing in China. And Mike gave them some gloves and a hat and stuff. You know, it's acts of kindness. You know, and it's calmer and it's everything else. So I mean, again, I think James and James did the right thing, and. They actually played. You're playing the game. You're playing for $1 million is the bottom line, and James really wants to win that $1 million for his, you know, father, who's very ill. So they go from there, and then there was another route info, and they had to take a bus to Ransorf, something like that.
Ransorf.
And and it was a classic roadblock. So they repeated a roadblock for the first time that I know of. I mean, did you ever see? I never saw a roadblock get repeated before. And
right,
I do recall.
The ditch.
I do recall it from you know, from years ago, where they had a vault across a riverbank, a river. Excuse me, just dropped the phone. They had a vault across the river, grab a pair of clogs and run back for the clogs to the other side and then vault back. Everybody pretty much did it with no problems, except Ryan at the end, but I think it's just from pure exhaustion at that point. But when Trey and Lexi get to that point of the U-turn, they U-turn to James and James. Why they did that is to, you know, I believe, is to stop anybody else from U-turning anybody else behind them. They set out with, because that was their whole idea. Trey and Lexi, with their whole thing was to get Ryan and Abby U-turned. So.
And in essence, that probably saved Josh and Brent.
Oh, absolutely. No, it absolutely
right.
did.
Yeah.
There's no question about that. No. I mean, and Josh and Brent felt so bad that, you know, they had to leave them behind, and, you know, because they worked together on several legs of the race near the end, you know.
Stopped and talked and discussed about going back and helping them do the second task that they had to do.
Yep.
And I thought there for a minute they were going to do it. But, you know, finally you saw them get in their taxi and go ahead toward the pit stop. But there for a minute I thought they were actually going to go back and help them with their final, you know, task. And, I, you know, they even said, you know, look, one of us is going to have to step on that mat first. And do you think they're really going to stand back and let us, you know, jump on the mat first? They're, you know, playing for $2 million or $1 million too, and you know, they just may, you know, jump on the mat before us and let us get, you know, sent home.
Right.
And so they, you know, they discussed it, and they decided, you know, to go ahead and get in the taxi and move forward, go to the pit stop and not look back, which, you know, was absolutely the right decision. And I think a lot of people were glad they did. I think they would have been really sorry if they would have went back and helped them and then it turned bad for them, you know.
Yeah. Well, James and James ended up coming in second. Trey and Lexi came in third. Josh and Brent came in fourth. And Abby and Ryan came in fifth and were eliminated from the race. So there will not be a $2 million winner this year. You know, and they played a good game. They played a good race. They had their difficulties the last two legs. You know, unfortunate things, things you can't, you know, you can't plan on a plane not working properly, or, you know, that stuff happens. That's something, that thing, those are things that happen every day. You know, it happens on almost every season, where a plane either breaks down or it's just not, you know, things aren't right, or you got to switch a plane, you know. So these are unforeseen things that can happen on the race, and they do. And it is what it is. It's how the race is run. So.
Yeah. And, you know, Ryan was pretty upset by it. Abby didn't say a whole lot, but Ryan was fairly upset, and, you know, you can't blame them. I mean, they were playing, because they won the first leg of the race, they were playing for $2 million. And, you know, that's a lot of money to lose.
Yeah.
And, you know, they certainly blamed it on the Chippendales for the U-turn, but, you know, they're all playing a game. And
yes, exactly.
I'm sure
it's a game. It's a game for $1 million is the bottom line. You know,
eventually they'll come around and figure out that, you know, this was a game,
you know,
and if they were in the same position as James and James were, they would have done the same thing and let bygones be bygones.
The race put on a big meal for us on the season finale, the Avash, you know, which is an aired, like, live, but once the race is over, we go back to a hotel and they put on a big feast for us and stuff. And so now you're bumping into everybody. Like, you know, when Mike and I U-turned Joe and Heidi, you know. So the same thing with James and James and Abby and Ryan, when they're at that meal, it's like it's, you know, you can cut the air with a knife, you know. So it's really difficult at that point. But hopefully, you know, James explained to them, you know, why they did what they did. I mean, and after watching tonight's episode, you would assume that, you know, Abby and Ryan would understand why they did what they did, you know, and, you know, so forth. I mean, it's just the way it is. It's just, the, you know, it's just the game, the nature of the game.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, you can be upset. I'm sure, oh, my God. I mean, they were in the running for $2 million, and they made it pretty far, you know. I mean, they finished fifth out of 11 teams, you know. So, I mean, they were like, what, let's see, unless they have another non-elimination, I mean, there's like, what, there could literally be two more episodes, you know, and this, you know, an episode next week and the week after could be the season finale. So, but, yeah, so we got to see what happens. So, what's
and
going
in
on?
Next week's previews we saw in Spain that Josh hurts his ankle playing tennis and Lexi hurts her finger while in a bull costume. So,
well, yeah,
looks
we'll
like they have some
happens.
Injuries next week.
Yeah, you know, you got to throw those in the commercials just to catch the interest of viewers, you know. Oh, we got to see what happens, you know. But, you know, as well as I do, you know, everybody, they throw that stuff in there just to grab you. And it'll probably be nothing, you know.
Right.
You know, be a little part of the show. But, I mean, it's interesting. They're going to go to Spain, which is very cool. So I'm looking forward to seeing that episode as well.
Those bull costumes look ridiculous.
Yeah. Anyway. I was just going to talk
about the finale because I just – I had seen this – a week and a half or 2 weeks ago, and I found it again on the internet. They say that the Amazing Race crosses a finish line in a two-hour season finale on Sunday, December 9th.
All right, so that makes sense because then a two-hour season finale, which means that there is one more non-elimination, and. That makes a lot of sense. So
we have two more episodes, but the final episode is like two and one. I mean, a two-hour long one.
Right.
So.
So I'm assuming the next one's going to be non-elimination. Next week should be non-elimination, and then the following one, the first half will be, you know, whoever comes in fourth eliminated, and then the final three for the finish line. So.
Yeah.
It makes sense, but I think we had a fabulous show tonight. We had a good, it was good, it was nice, flowed really well. I hope the fans enjoyed it. Hope the podcast listeners enjoyed it. You know, and everybody else. I mean, like I always say, you guys are the backbone of this whole operation, and I appreciate it very much for having me on. So thank you.
Well, thank you, Louie. We always love having you on. It's been a pleasure, and I know you've got someone there with you that you need to get back with, and we thank her for sharing your time with us, and tell her we said hi.
I will definitely do that.
We'll let you get back to enjoying your evening. We thank you so much for being here with us and recapping the Amazing Race every Sunday with us. You have a great night, and enjoy what's left of your weekend, and
yes.
We can't wait to have you back next Sunday.
Thank you so much, babe.
You're
welcome. Have a great night, guys.
All right. Thank you.
You too. Thanks, Lily.
All right. Bye-bye. Oh, I always love talking to Louie, and I'm so glad his 50th birthday came out so well. Yeah, he certainly deserves to have a rockin' 50th.
Yeah. And it did sound fun. I'm forgetting. I've heard the people that are going to be showing up for Toys for Tots, but was Louie going to be able to make it? I've already forgotten.
Yes, he is going to be there, and it sounds like Jim is going to be there too.
Yeah, I did actually. I did pick up on him saying that, so that should be pretty cool. But at any rate, I'm just kind of glancing at anything that we. Yeah, from tonight's episode, the different routes that these five people took. That was just. I was scrambling to try to figure out, write down who's going where, who's got, you know, a connecting flight. I thought it was really cute how Natalie and Nadia just kept begging because the ticket agent did not want to give them a connecting flight with that length of time. And they just kept persisting, saying, you know, we can do it, we can do it, we can do it. And she finally gave in.
Yep.
And obviously they were able to make that connecting flight. And you knew when Abby and Ryan started saying, we don't want to go through Frankfurt again, that was setting us up for, you know, there was going to be problems there. But when they didn't make the first flight, you know, he basically said something like, you know, thanks for nothing or whatever when he couldn't get on it. Then... Josh and Brent go through Oslo. Natalie and Nadia go through Rome. I mean, it was crazy. It was hard to keep track of who was supposed to get there when. And then for a while, we kept seeing James and Natalie and Nadia, and then we'd see Abby and Ryan and Josh and Brent, and I kept thinking, we're missing somebody. And all of a sudden, there pops up Trey and Lexi. That's the part that I have a hard time with on Amazing Race, is keeping track of everybody's position. You're a race car, a NASCAR. They've got those little graphics at the top, don't they, sometimes? And it keeps showing where everybody is.
Yes.
They should do that. They should have a little inset on the TV screen and show the little arrows pointing
That's
to all the
That's a good idea,
teams.
Paul. Oh, my goodness. That's a great idea.
I knew you'd understand that reference, being a NASCAR fan. And the other thing I was a bit surprised with, you know, it's hard to tell with these detours how long things are going to take. But I was surprised until the last couple of teams that nobody picked that back in time, that really, as it was described to us, didn't sound as difficult as, you know, trying to solicit money from people. I just, maybe the people that chose the organ grinder just felt that they could schmooze people enough to get money, but I've also seen times when it's really difficult for them to, you know, get money. But of course, they also know that they've got a cameraman, and all these people walking by can see that this must be some kind of a TV show, and they probably figure out, well, I normally wouldn't give any money, but I might be on a TV show if I do.
Right, and that one lady for Trey and Lexi. Or not Trey and Lexi, for Abby and Ryan, said, I'm going to make it so you're done.
Yeah.
And gave them, you know, all the money they needed to finally, you know, to finish and not have to beg anymore. And she just actually broke down and cried, giving the lady a hug. And
those are the great moments. I really like those moments, Jerry.
I do, too. I actually felt, you know, compassion for them at that moment, you know. They haven't really been, I've sort of gone back and forth with them. They haven't always been my favorite team at times, but there have been times when I really liked them. And at that moment, I really had compassion for them, and my heart really went out to them. So, you know, when people that don't even know you offer that sort of kindness at that low point in time in your life when you're really struggling, it really does, you know, sort of just bring up the compassion and the sentiment in your heart. So that was a real special moment on tonight's show.
Yeah. Hey, you know what we don't get to play very often, we haven't played very often, but I keep making these things, is some of these drops that we have. And I was thinking I would like you to hear the one I put together for Miss JoJo, who was here last Monday, but also we still have a contest going. So I was thinking we could play a couple of those drops right now. What do you think?
Well, I would like to do that. And one that we need to remind people of is the Hometown Hotties. And you put a great one together for that one as well, for Miss Persephone. So we'll do that one right off Jump Street, and then we'll get
to... It looks like Ben left. I was going to ask him. He was in the chat room, but I'm wondering how close we are to the end of it. People vote every day, but I think it's probably like within a week, or do you know?
I don't know exactly when that cutoff date is, actually.
I have a feeling we're like about a week away, so let's just go with that and encourage people to do it. And just in case you didn't catch this last time Cherry mentioned it, I stumbled across that I voted on Firefox, and then I pulled up my Internet Explorer, and all of a sudden I saw that I could vote again, and indeed it seems like you can vote once every 24 hours and once for each browser that you have.
And your cell phone, too, if you have a cell phone.
There you go.
So
I couldn't test that one out.
Here we go.
Hey, guys. My name's Persephone. I'm one of your 2013 Maxim's Hometown Hotties finalists. And I had a blast here on the Rad Reality Show. Make sure everybody checks me out on Maxim.com.
And I'm wondering if Ben... I wonder if he might drag her up to Toys for Tots. Has he said anything?
He said that she will be joining him.
How cool.
Yep. And then you mentioned JoJo's for the Manic Monday. And here is that one.
Hey, guys. What's up? It's JoJo from Big Brother 14. And I had such a blast on Manic Mondays with my peeps. Rad Reality, baby. I love you guys.
Awesome, Paul.
Yeah,
awesome.
I was kind of surprised on that one because she was leaving and Michelle Koss had asked her to do something like that, and I wasn't sure that we would have a good one there, but it turned out pretty good. Yeah, we have a Manic Monday show tomorrow with
Ashley Aoko.
Yeah.
And I just know that's going to be a really fun show.
By the way,
so much fun. She's, always so upbeat and happy and just fun to be around. And she, I think, is... I think she's going to Toys for Tots. We'll find out tomorrow.
Yeah. I wanted to tell you, I'm going off topic here as things pop into my head, but I have watched, I'm kind of done. I've had my fill of it, Cherry, but I have watched, Cherry will call me and tell me about other reality shows that pop up. And one she thought I might be interested in was, and again, I wish Ben was here, but was Whisker Wars. That's some crazy stuff. I mean, and especially the freestyle stuff. It's just the guy in the finale from last season, I don't know if you caught that one, when they had the world competition in Norway. Did you see that episode?
Yes, I did.
Did you see the guy that crafted a, what was it, like a reindeer in his beard?
I did. And did you see the one that had like, he had like a little,
oh,
a little village built in his beard?
Yes, it was. He made it like, look like a ski slope, and he put little tiny images, you know, people in there.
Oh, yes. My gosh.
And then in the premiere, the first episode of season two, which just aired, was in Columbus, Ohio, and there was a guy that spelled Ohio out in his beard. I mean... Oh, my gosh. And, yes, Joe brought it up, too. A brand-new show just started the other night on now I'm going to forget what network it's on. It's called Killer Karaoke. Did you catch that one, Sherry?
I didn't.
It is hosted by Steve-O, who was part of, not Punk, what the hell? You know what I'm talking about.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Jackass. Yes, I take enough time and Joe is going to answer it for me in there. But, yeah, so Steve-O is one of the Jackass crews. He's the host of it. And what they have to do is the contestants have to sing karaoke, and they cannot stop singing while he puts them through just these awful challenges. And like the first girl is put on a swing, and they raise the swing high in the air, and they move in a big clear glass thing with really cold water in it, and they start lowering her into this cold water as she's singing a song. And as she goes in the water, then another couple of the crew members start dumping in these long, big-ass snakes. And so they dunk her in this, and as they bring her up out of the water, she's got snakes crawling on her shoulders and right in her face. And I mean, they had one guy who they strapped shock collar around his throat, both arms and both legs, and he had to serve Steve-O some food, singing, and as he would walk from getting the food to serve it to him, they would shock him. Yeah. I mean, it's just absolutely insane what they put these people through.
Wow.
And just started up, and yes, it's on True TV. It's on that network.
That's a strange one.
Yes.
That's a strange network.
It is crazy. And I tried again. I did this from the last season. I tried, Jerry, but I just can't get into Redneck Island. I don't know. I know people are enjoying it, but it's like the cheap version of a Survivor and Big Brother. But I did find it interesting in one of the most recent episode where they actually had the Big Brother challenge, as I look at it, transporting those little cups of beer.
Right.
Did you see that episode or no?
I don't think I did. Well,
yeah, they had this trough filled with beer, and they had to transport these little teeny shot glass size things of beer to the other end, where they had to fill up these glass boots, and they had to fill them up to a certain length to get meat, to get buns, to get beer, to get, you know, and so they all had to, you know, were assigned one form of food. But between the trough and these glass boots that they had to fill up, they had a big tarp that was covered in axle grease, so it was really slippery. So, I mean, I'm sitting there thinking, you know, the Big Brother competition, you know, the endurance one. So, but, and then a new one, somebody just pointed out, I will watch it. It doesn't sound like my cup of tea, but I just reading the description, I had to laugh. And it comes on, it's premiering tonight on TLC called Extreme Cougar Wives. And the premiere episode describes it as this. Profiles of older women who date younger men include a 76-year-old woman who meets a 25-year-old man at a pool, a 65-year-old widow with a 28-year-old beau whose friends disapprove of their relationship, and a 53-year-old woman dating her daughter's ex.
Yeah, I saw one of the older cougars that were going to be on that show on a talk show. And OMG. I have not seen the actual show itself, but wow. This woman had to be like in her 70s. And she was dating a guy that was like, I think, 21. And it was different. I don't know if I can get into that show.
To answer Thomas in the chat room, I don't know if there's a term, but it could be called dirty old man.
That might be the answer to that question, Paul. You know, you just wonder where the end of this reality show thing is going to end. I mean, I thought I'd seen it all with Honey Boo Boo. You know, I mean, oh, my gosh, and the little girls and their pageants with the fake boobs and fake butts and...
Yeah, that creeps me out big time.
It does me, too. And
the other thing that I keep noticing is, and by the way, Mr. Mack, I have not caught up on Australia. I almost hate to say that. And I almost feel like I'm never going to catch up with it. But I've noticed at the end, the closing credits on so many of these shows are Fremantle. Fremantle, Fremantle. I mean, it's after Big Brother. It's, you know, so I don't know do you know anything about, is that some kind of a reality company or they've got their hands in it? It's not exclusive to any particular network. It's on a lot of these. Have you noticed that I see it at the end of, like, American Idol shows in the credits.
It's probably one of the production companies or something.
But it's seems to always be after these reality shows, so... Yeah, I've got a lot of shows to catch up. I did a lot of catching up on some scripted shows that I've been putting off for a long time, and next I'm going to have to catch up on Couples Therapy, which I'm way behind, and the final episodes of Rehab, which I find fascinating. I really enjoy those shows. But
I do too. And I can't believe Alex McCord is following me on Twitter. I'm just thrilled. I want to talk to her so bad. I would love to have her come on the show after Couples Therapy is over. I don't know if I can pull it off, but I'm going to try.
That would be cool.
Wouldn't it be cool to have Alex McCord come on our show?
Let me put it this way. That would be cool for you. Because you're such a real Housewives fan.
But she's also done Couples Therapy, and you've watched that show, so.
Oh, my goodness, look at Mr. Mack. But before I mention what Mr. Mack just informed us of, I'm going to welcome Face One, Thomas, to the Duck Dynasty fan club.
Wow.
Anyway,
Jim Hansel
so
bought out Mark Goodson, Bill Tadman Productions, and the rights of old and new TV shows. How many times have we heard this is a Mark Goodson, Bill Tadman production?
Yep. And all those, when game shows were huge.
Oh, my goodness. So many times have we heard that at the end of the show. This is a Mark Goodson, Bill Tadman production.
Well, just because we've got just a short bit of time and I've got it available, I am going to play this for our new Duck Dynasty fan watcher.
Oh my goodness, I thought you were going to play the other one.
Of a Duck Dynasty or a different show?
Duck Dynasty.
Oh, with Phil saying happy.
Right. Yes, Thomas, they have turned many of the new shows' opening songs into sort of rap songs, and one of the shows that they have done that to is Top Chef, and I really do not like it. The new Top Chef theme song has gone totally rap, and it's just annoying. I just don't like it. I don't know. It's just, it doesn't seem to fit. So.
Well, Jerry, as the clock ticks away, I figure you've got some announcements. I have a question of whether you found me a partner for Thursday or not yet. And if not, maybe there's some people listening that would want to volunteer, but what's about the shows coming up and the changes and anything like that?
Well, Monday, tomorrow, as we all know, 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, Michelle Costa hosts the Manic Monday show, and we have Ashley Ioka joining us. I'm sure that's going to be a fabulous and epic show, so make sure you join us for that. And on Thursday with Mr. Travis Bubba Sampson, we have our Survivor Roundtable show. And I haven't actually pinned down exactly what's going to happen with that show yet, Paul.
Okay.
I'll have to...
And, well, I will interrupt then and tell people the reason being that Thursday is a travel day for Cherry going out to Toys for Tots, and there might be events going on that night, and so she may not be able to do it. We also have to remind people, because Thanksgiving, we will be covering two episodes of Survivor.
Right. So we're going to have to very quickly figure out that Thursday show and whether I'm going to be able to be on there with you or whether we'll have somebody else covering it with you. And I'll have to quickly figure that out in the next couple of days. I will have this show set up for you and all that, but whether I'm going to be able to actually be on the line with you and cover it with you or whether I'm going to have somebody else do that with you, I'm just going to have to figure that out in the next couple of days or two and let you know.
And I just wanted to clarify the one reason I mentioned it on the air, just in case there was somebody that really wanted to do it with me. I thought I could mention that. That's all.
Okay. And maybe there would be somebody that could volunteer that's a Survivor fan. But I will let you know if I'm going to be able to be there. And if not, we'll have to see if we can find somebody that will be able to call in and be on air with you. I know you can run the switchboard, but as long as they can call in and sort of be on air with you, that would be a great help.
Oh, absolutely.
So just remember, everyone, please make sure that you join us tomorrow, 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, for Manic Monday. It's going to be a great show. And then on Thursday for a double Survivor recap show with Travis Bubba Sampson. And I will be making sure that I keep in touch with everyone from New Hampshire at Toys for Tots, letting everyone know what's going on up there. And there'll be live feed from up there. As Louis said, there'll be a daytime parade. Lots of people going up there this year. It's the 5th anniversary, and they're just pulling out all the stops for this one. So it's going to be a great, great Toys for Tots. Make sure you watch the internet for links to the live feeds so that you can watch what's going on at Toys for Tots in New Hampshire. I'm going to close the show with Ron, as I always do. I hope you guys had a wonderful Thanksgiving with your families, and I do appreciate you joining us tonight on the final night of your long weekend. Take care, everyone, and we hope to see you tomorrow. Here's Ron to say goodnight.
Come back tomorrow night at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. You're going to be listening to Manic Monday with Michelle Costa, the Manic Monday rad reality show. And great guests tomorrow, great guests all week. So don't forget. Hey, well, let's close off the show with the song.
Where there's no space and time, I love you for my life, darling, you're a friend of mine. When my life is over, remember when we were together. We were alone, and I was singing this song with you. We were alone, I was singing this song for you. We were alone, I was singing this song. Singing this song for you.
I'm just going to say have a good night and come back tomorrow. Love you guys. Good night.
Thank you, everybody, for being here with us tonight. Take care of each other. God bless.